Just is Parshas Pekudei.
Good.
They're going back into the desert. I'm going away for that. No, we're done. I'm going on a vacation also.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you. Let's jumping right into it. Parshas Pekudei, as we know, is Shabbos Chazak. It's the last Shabbos of Sefer Shemos. And it gives a recap of the Mishkan. It gives a little bit of recap of Bida Kahuna. But within the storyline, it says, Vikach vites ha'edus al ha'aron. You're supposed to take and place the edus, the luchos, inside the aron. The Rambam says, based on the Gemara Yishami, that the reason why today we put a Sefer Torah in Aron Kodesh is to mimic what happened in the times of the desert, in the times of the Mishkan, and eventually the Beis HaMikdash, where they put the luchos into the aron. So much so were people taken by that opinion that we're paralleling this experience in the desert and that modeling of having the luchos in the aron, that's why we have an aron today. And therefore, they said, many Rishonim say, that because of that comparison, then that's why we should really put our lucho, our Sefer Torah, lying down flat inside the aron. Wild. Just like the luchos were placed flat in the aron, so too, we should put a Sefer Torah inside the aron lying down flat. Many Rishonim held this. That did not become the custom of the Jewish people. That was not what happened. We know that the real way we have the Sefer Torah is standing up. And one of the late earlier Achronim, the Ritvaz, says the following. He says, I don't like this discussion. He says, we have a time-old custom, and since, as far as we know, the Sefer Torah was placed in the aron standing up. I don't like the discussion lying down. I'm a conservative. We don't veer from the path. And he gives a number of reasons why we should keep the Sefer Torah standing up. He says the following. He says, amongst the reasons he writes, that since a person davens facing the Sefer Torah, facing the aron, the Sefer Torah should be facing the person. Just like we face the aron when we daven, we face the Torah when we daven, you take the Sefer Torah and you have it face us as well. Powerful words. I'm trying to understand what that means. What does it mean that just like we face the Torah, the Torah should face us? It's not our job to, it's not the job of the Torah to face us. You don't say, since we're facing the king needs to face us. It doesn't work like that. We face the king. You know, in yeshivas, in the Lifshitz world, so when a Rosh Hashiva sits in the front, they face facing everybody, like a Rav and a Shul. But the Rebbe, but the Hasidim, it's not like that. The Rebbe's face forward. Their back is towards the people. They're leading them. I hear they're the leaders. It's not their job to face me. So what does the Ritvaz mean when he says that since we, the Tzibur, the community, the people, are facing the Torah, therefore it's appropriate for the Torah to face us? So I wanted to explain in a very interesting insight from Rav Soloveitchik. He says, what's talked about in this parsha is the big day, Kahuna, the clothing of the Kohen. He has a very, very fascinating observation. He says, in reality, we know there's a Kohen God, the hierarchy of greatness in the Jewish people, which we do have. So there's a Kohen, and in many ways, we consider the Navi a greater leader than the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is great, holiness is there, but a Navi in a certain level is even greater than a Kohen Gadol. He says, nonetheless, we don't find any of the restrictions, any of the guidelines that impacts a Kohen. Kohen has the laws of purity and impurity. The Kohen has a very limited dress code, especially while he's doing the Avoda, the regular Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. And we don't find any of these restrictions that occupies the life of the Kohen. We don't find that as part of the mandate of the law of the personality of the Navi. There's no dress code. There's no specific laws of purity and impurity. You can't come in contact with the dead. None of that. And he asks, why not? And he says, in reality, he says that the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Navi, and obviously my words explain what Rav Soloveitchik said, the Kohen Gadol is kind of like static. The Kohen Gadol is what he is. He has a very specific role. no matter what generation he's in, no matter what he's living, that rule never changes. The Kohen Gadol is a Kohen Gadol, it's a Kohen Gadol, whether the first year of the Beis HaMikdash, the last year of the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, things change a little bit, but his role as a Kohen Gadol is exactly the same. It doesn't make a difference who you are, doesn't make a difference what year you're living in, what generation you're living in. As long as that's your job, and you dress the same, and you act the same, and you serve the same, you're the Kohen Gadol. But a Navi is different. Because the Navi was the communicator between God and the people. And what can work in one generation won't work in another generation. And what work in one time in one era will not work in another era. And therefore, Navi knew how to be somewhat adaptive to the times of the people. And therefore, maybe the dress code may differ. He has to dress according to what was normative at that time. You couldn't box him into a very, very secluded area. You couldn't box him in to a limited regimen of style. You couldn't box him into laws that other people didn't have. He had a great status, but he had to be with the people. That was his job. Because the Navi's sole purpose was to communicate the word of God to the Jewish people. And therefore, he says, that's why you couldn't live in him. If Yaakov Kamenetsky in a different place says a very fascinating idea. He says, the Torah tells us they have two Nevi'im give the exact same prophecy. They both get up and say, this is what God said to us, and the exact same prophecy, we don't accept it. Which is counterintuitive. I would say on the contrary. Like witnesses. If witnesses gave the same testimony, that's great, that's what we're looking for. If they start veering from each other, then we get questionable, we get confused, we get doubtful about the validity of their testimony. But if two Nevi'im say the exact same thing, we say, no, that's not good. Why? That should be great. And the answer is because when Hashem gives a message to a person, each person receives it in their own way. Each person receives the way they receive it. So if two Nevi'im are saying the exact same thing, it must be that they planned it. It's not legitimate. It's fake. So I want to take this beautiful concept and say the following idea. Our Torah is what it is. It's eternal. It's permanent. Its values, its lessons are always exactly the way. Since the time that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Hasinai until the Mashiach comes, until the Beis HaMikdash comes, the Torah will always be the Torah. But we do know that there are different ways of teaching the Torah to the people. We do know that what worked 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago and 50 years ago will not work today. What worked in Europe will not work today in America. We do know that there are ways that kind of transcend the time that sometimes have to be allow us to be able to be somewhat more adaptive to the current place and the current situation to make sure that people are receiving the Torah. We don't change the Torah. That's for sure not. But we change our ways on how we adapt to the Torah, how we teach the Torah, how we give over the lesson to the Torah. And I was thinking maybe that's what the Ravaz means when he says that the Torah faces the people. Because the people have to see that the Torah is there and it's permanent. But the Torah faces the people saying to them, I'm here for you. I may not be the same way that your grandparents saw me. I may not be taught to you the exact same way, but I'm facing you. In every community, in every generation, it faces that Torah scroll. That faces the holy words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every generation, every community, every tzibur, every shul, and we will differ in that. What's going to work for one shul will not work for another shul. We will differ in that. But every person has to know that we are all facing the Sefer Torah. We are recognizing the permanence, the greatness, the eternity of the Sefer Torah. And the Torah faces us and says, yes, now you're my tzibur. Now you're my community. We have to be able to connect in that way. And I think this is what we are seeing very much in our time and age. And this is a very, very difficult tightrope to walk. You know, it's funny, my students, I always tell them that, you know, very often they take new haircuts and new styles and the principals get upset. It's not. I say to them, yeah, guys, you have to understand. Bechol dor v'dor, every generation, no matter what the style of the haircuts are, the principal of the past will not like it. And no question, it doesn't make a difference. When I was a kid, growing up, long hair was so cool. And if your hair was too long, chop it off. Then became, when I started a couple years ago, whatever it was, when buzz haircuts became in. And if it was too short, the principal didn't like it. So obviously it can't be what's halakhically not permitted. You can't have where they trim the sideburns. That's not allowed. But you have to understand that you have to know how to adapt to the needs of the times. And it's not easy. It's not easy. We're always struggling with that. You know, same thing with women's clothing. Sometimes when the skirts are too short, it's not tsunua. When the skirts are too long, it's inappropriate. Like, you almost couldn't win that battle, and you won't win that battle. You have to understand, you have to try to understand what is the Torah's value and how to adapt it to our time and our generation. And that's our constant goal. And that's what the Navi is. Because the Navi Yirmiyahu is different from Yechezkel, different from Shmuel. Each Navi had his own job. Hosea and Amos, they all had their own purpose, their own personality, their own way of transmitting the message. And that's how we have to kind of relate both to ourselves and to our children and to the people around us. Again, let's be clear. Let's make sure we're really clear on this. We don't change the Torah. That's not the message.
The Torah changes us.
Oh, wow. Torah Tuesday, welcome to Eliezer Gava. Okay? That's good. All right? We don't change the Torah. But sometimes we have to adapt as people to know how to transmit that message to others and sometimes to ourselves. Very often, I find this myself, that, you know, looking back at what I used to do and what was done when I was younger with my rebbeim and my this and that. And you know, sometimes it's just not the same anymore. It's just not the same anymore. And we have to recognize. I spoke to one of my colleagues, one of the rebbeim in this morning, and he was telling me about a new sefer he purchased of an old printed sefer and how nice and new it is and how pretty it is and how clear it is. So we're talking about, yes, and we remember the older editions and the older versions and the earlier printing times, not that early, even from when I watched from 40 years ago, some of my sfarim from them. And I have sometimes I have a hard time changing and giving it up. And there's a lot of that discussion when they come out with new prints. It spans. It spans every element. It spans every element of Judaism. And it's really hard to know when you're giving in and when you're giving up versus when you're raising up the people. And that's our constant challenge. But that's what the Sefer Torah faces us, to teach us that I'm here for you in every generation. We just have to figure out how to connect. I'm in front of you, I'm in the Urim, you face me. You see me, says the Torah, and I also see you. And our job as people, as Jews, as teachers, as parents, have the responsibility and the obligation to make sure that we can transmit the power and the beauty of the eternal Torah to our generation. Thank you for listening.
Very nice.
Torah changes you.
Hey, Z, Dad, you're not mad late.
Z, thanks for coming. Thanks for closing the door.
Yeah.
Shining the light.
Yeah. Convict, why didn't you answer our question when you're coming to LA? We have things for you. Asher Koach to Rabbi Grandma. Thank you. Wow.
Thank you,
hey. Thanks. Wow, everyone's wow. Yes. Hey, guys. Finally, in some interacting.
Yeah, really. Thank you. Appreciate that. Daniel Bass, how about you? Hello. Welcome, everybody.
Hey.
Two weeks. So after Purim?
For Purim?
If you have Purim, you come to my house for the Suda.
Obvs. That I didn't already.
Who's DJ Crisp?
Yeah, thank you. DJ Crisp, are you the agent or something?
It's who Sylvia.
Not me forgetting to come on time tonight. Doubt you're ever on time. Probation officer. Doubt you don't love to let everybody know you're a convict.
Okay, that's
all. I just argued with my son about his haircut. Is it too long or too short?
So you decide if you want to share this. Again, it's a problem. It's a real, real challenge because it changes. Like I said, it no matter what you do, every generation will be different.
But you, the older people, or older than me people, you guys need to change. We're in the generation. You need to adapt to the younger generation that we're in, the millennial.
And I don't know you guys anymore.
Am I a millennial or what's the other thing?
Z-Gen?
Gen Z?
Gen Z.
Dyslexic.
That's true. But on the other hand, thank you, Z. On the other hand, you as the Gen Z have to accept the permanence and the eternity of the Torah. You can't
expect... I wasn't even thinking about the Torah. I was thinking more just in life.
Like, I should give you cookies?
No, like...
You don't have enough?
Nowadays, like, I'm not very in style, but, like, if I were to be in style, let's say, I would dress in style, and you might not like it, but it's what the kids are wearing. It's what the people...
Again, as I said, it's a tightrope. Number one, is it tzinua? Is it acceptable? Is it halakhically okay? Does it reach the standard of tzinius? If it reaches the standard of tzinius, then obviously the style is going to change.
But does it say, like...
There's no, it doesn't
length
say.
Length that it
yes.
should be?
Yeah, we have halakhic guidelines for that.
For women?
Of course.
So what's the length?
Like, just past your knees or the mouth.
No, I'm saying for here.
Oh, it has to be appropriate. It has to be tzinua. It has to be appropriate. It shouldn't be too like yours.
It shouldn't
look like the wigs. It shouldn't look like yours. Right? Yeah, the wigs are a big discussion. Z? Yeah, that's not against my Z. Okay. All right.
We doubt DJ Crisp knows doubt it. Like, what?
Okay, folks.
Who are you?
Thank you all for joining. That's not working. You want to hear a crazy story? Hey. This quickly happened tonight on the way.
Mad stories tonight, by the way.
On the way back from work, literally. So I've been having this. Let me show you.